there is something beyond salvation. That's the important message that our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, has for us today on Through the Bible. Is that a new thought for you? Well, that's what's ahead for us in our study of 2 Peter. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, and I'm glad that you've hopped aboard for what Dr. McGee affectionately called the Bible Bus. For those of you just joining us, Through the Bible is a 5-year journey, and it takes you through the entire Word of God. And today, we're in the New Testament studying the second book of the Apostle Peter in chapter 1 at verse 4. And Dr. McGee has a lot to share with us about how there's more to the Christian life than just being saved. To help you get the most out of our studies in God's Word, we always suggest that you download our free ebook titled Briefing the Bible. It contains all of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines and then any charts or maps that he mentions in our study. Briefing the Bible is available to you anytime in the resources section of ttb.org, and it's free. Or if you'd prefer to have an abridged paperback copy that's also free, we can send it to you by mail. Just request it online, or you can call us again at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, while you open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1, let's share a few letters from our fellow passengers on the Bible bus. This first one is from a listener of our Bambara program. That's in West Africa. Listening to your teaching on Nehemiah 1, verses 1-6 really helped me understand the book. It is a book of actions, encouraging us to work and pray, to be vigilant, and to be cautious in the judgments of others. I understand that all those with high responsibilities can do great things for the work of God. Nehemiah taught me a lot. Thank you. Isn't that a great letter? Here's another one. This is from a listener of our Bengali program. That's in India. I am 75 years old and have retired. I was introduced to your program in 1984. I am a believer, and through the teaching, I was able to understand the depth of the Word of God. With your help, I share God with my village. Many have received Jesus Christ. And then here's a social media post. This is from a friend of Through the Bible in Bulgaria. I have been through many hardships in my life, and Through the Bible was always there. I am 42, and I began reading the Bible from cover to cover this year, and I'm almost finished. When I don't understand part of it, I listen to you on the internet. God has changed me while reading it and listening. God bless you. And then our last letter comes from Danilo over in the Philippines. I thank you for the Word of God that you share in my language of Cebuano. Sometimes I can't attend church service because my dad is at work and I'm not old enough to drive, but thankfully I can still hear God's wonderful word on your radio program. Recently I learned that God is speaking to us, calling us by name. It's hard to believe that's true, but he keeps our name on his lips. He whispers it lovingly, tenderly, patiently but persistently. This gives me pleasure to know I am loved and that the Lord thinks of me. Thank you for your teaching. Please pray for us here in the Poblacion area. Aren't those really good letters? If you'd like to join me and thousands of other listeners in praying that God's entire word will reach his entire world, then join our world prayer team. It's easy. Just go to ttb.org/pray. You'll be glad you did. Or if you'd like to know more about how you can financially partner with Through the Bible and keep the Bible bus rolling in more than 120 languages around the world, call us today at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, bless your word as it reaches the hearts of those who are listening today, and then help us to take your word seriously. Change us, challenge us, and help us to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's our study in 2 Peter chapter 1 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Friends, if you found your place now in the epistle of 2 Peter and the first chapter, and we will begin today at verse 4. Now, I want to read verse 4 over again and lift out two things here. By which are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, precious promises come to us through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made certain wonderful promises to us. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will rest you. And then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest in your souls. And that's the rest of commitment of your heart and life to Christ. And then he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. These wonderful promises come through a knowledge of Jesus Christ, you see, and our faith in him. Now, the second thing he says, that through these we are become partakers of the divine nature. And that is so wonderful, I can't even begin to tell you what all that means. That means that you've been born again. How? Not through corruptible seed, but the Word of God. And this Word is living. If you believe it, if you'll trust Christ, you are born again. Now, we hear that so much today, and I think it's become almost a worn-out, hackneyed expression with so many today. But it means you're a partaker of the divine nature. That is the nature of God. And you haven't lost that old nature. There is a conflict in the life of every believer. And therefore, the best illustration that is in the Scripture is what our Lord gave about that prodigal son. Now, he could go to the far country because he had an old nature. And he could spend his money in riotous living. And he could get down even in the pig pen. But you see, he was a partaker of the nature of his father. His father didn't live in a pig pen. His father lived up there in a wonderful mansion. And the father believed in godliness and cleanliness. And on his table there was nourishing food. And that boy, since he's a son of the father, he has to say it. He wouldn't have been a son if he hadn't said, I will arise, I'll go to my father. And you couldn't find a pig in the pig pen that would say that. They didn't want to go up there. I read another article just the other day. A man raises pigs, and he says they're clean little fellows. Well, he's got a group of pigs that I never knew anything about, but I do know, and we're going to see in 2 Peter, that the pig can get washed and cleaned up. And he can become a very tidy little fella. In fact, he can join the church, and he can become a deacon in the church. Actually, he could become a minister in the pulpit. But he's a pig, and a pig finally is going to return back to that pig pen. Now, the son, he's partaker of the nature of his father. Now, if you're a child of God, you have the nature of God. Isn't that wonderful? I can understand God when he speaks in his word. When the Spirit of God makes it real to me. Hear the Father's voice. And I don't mean an audible voice, but through the Word of God. Now, notice, because of that now, he said, and beside this, and very frankly, I feel like saying to Simon Peter, and I rather feel like I know him, beside this, I said, what in the world can you add to the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ? And what is it that you could add to being a partaker of the divine nature? He said, well, when you get that far, you just started. You see, what he's saying here is, there is something beyond salvation. Now, somebody's going to say to me, what do you mean that there's something beyond salvation? Well, you remember Paul said to Timothy concerning the Scriptures, they're able to make you wise unto salvation. Well, Timothy was already saved. What did he mean by that? Well, that salvation is in the past tense. I have been saved. But it's also in the present tense. I am being saved. And it's also in the future tense. I'm going to be saved. Now, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. What he shall appear, we shall be like him. Now, I'm not like him yet. Maybe you are, but I have not arrived. But I'm in the process. Now, he's going to talk about the Christian when he's born again. He shouldn't stay in the crib and say da, da, da the rest of his life. And he shouldn't need burping every other day. And he should get to the place where he begins to grow up. Now, will you notice? And I'm reading now. He says, and beside this, verse 5, giving all diligence. Now, the Christian life is a very serious business. We have made it sort of a plaything. And it's extracurricular activity. It's not something you take into the business world, according to the present day thinking. It's not something you take to school with you, or it's not something that you take into your social life. Sort of like your Sunday go to meeting clothes. You just wear it at a certain time. But the Christian life is a very serious thing, giving all diligence. Now, he has a series of wonderful things here. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. Now, we're going to look at each one of these. But may I say to you that what you have here are not a series of beads. You know, you count off beads. This is not that at all. Nor is it like when I was a boy, we used to get out the box of dominoes, and we'd put them up and push one over, put them up in line, and one would fall, and it'd cause the other one to fall, and so on. And a great many people think that's what you have here, that it's that type of thing. Well, actually, it's not that at all. It's very difficult, by the way, to tell you exactly what he means by add to each one of these, add to your faith virtue. And it's not something that is unrelated. And I don't feel like it's putting one brick on top of another brick either. A great many consider it like that. Well, somebody says, but Paul used the figure that we're a temple and one stone is put on another. Yes, but they're living stones. Now, that leads me to another illustration. The Christian life is a growth, and that's the way Peter explains it in his epistle here. You remember, he closes with this tremendous statement. He goes out in a blaze of glory here. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now it's a growth. And I'd like to liken it unto a tree. The familiar illustration that I've heard many times has been the little oak. You know the old proverb, great oaks from little tocorns grow. Only the thing is, it's turned around the other way. Great trees from little acorns grow. Well, that's a good illustration. But let me give you a rather personal one. Several years ago, a very dear lady was a member of my church, and she had come from Oregon. Originally, she'd come from Texas, and she and I always felt like we were kissing cousins because of that. She and her husband in the early days had moved up to Oregon, and she had children up there, and she went up to visit them, and she brought back a little redwood tree. Now, that little redwood tree was not 6 inches high, just a little bitty fella, and it was in a can. She says, I brought this to you. I want you to put it in your yard. Well, if you want to know the truth, I didn't have any place for it in my yard, so I just put it down in front of our living room window. And I left it there with the idea that I would find a place for it and that I would move it. Well, the years went by, and I haven't moved it yet. But you know that tree now is almost as tall as I am, and I'm wondering, the young man that comes and helps me in my yard now, he and I are going to make an effort to try to move that tree. Now, that is the Christian life. It's a growth. It's a development. And my friend, in the woods, there are two things that are happening out there. That which is happening is transfiguration, actually. Either things are living and they're growing, or they're dead and they're rotting, decaying. That is the two processes that takes place in the woods. Now, if you're a child of God, you're to grow. And these are the different attributes, these different characteristics should be that which would actually characterize the child of God. Now, let's look at these, because here is a wonderful, not string of beads. I've heard that used, and it's not that at all. It's actually, here is a tree, and this tree is a growing tree. And these are the different steps of growth that are on it. And by the way, I should say that the little tree had very delicate little, and you don't call them leaves on a redwood tree, but whatever they are, why, they're different today. They've turned out to be great big fellas. There is growth and development there. Now in the Christian life, there should be that. Now he says here, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, now that's saving faith, that which gave you your divine nature, that which gave you forgiveness of sins, that which made over to you the righteousness of Christ. Now that faith, add to it. Now notice the first thing is virtue. Now, I'm going to have to change some of these words because down through the centuries, they have been changed. Virtus among the Romans meant something entirely different than it means today. We've saw that last time because this word has occurred before. Virtus, it actually has several meanings. It means valor. It means courage. It means excellence. It represented the very finest of the manhood of Rome. They would say he's a man of virtus, of virtue. And it had nothing to do, well, chastity was included in it, I'm sure. But the important thing was there was in it courage. And my friend, that is something that's needed among believers to be able to stand up and be counted today for God, to stand for that which is right today. Now, add to your faith virtue, and of virtue, that is, let me use the other word, courage, knowledge. Now we're back at this word knowledge again. And again, we're dealing with a word that when we saw it up here at the beginning, it was epigenosis. It's now gnosis. Now, epigenosis was a super knowledge. Paul, writing to the Colossians, prayed that they might have this epigenosis, the super knowledge. Now, what is that super knowledge? The Gnostics, which were a heresy, claimed they had a super knowledge. Well, it was a secret ritual that they had. Well, what is the super knowledge? Well, the super knowledge today is to know Christ. And to reach a place, now we're going to come to where Peter's going to rest that knowledge on the Word of God and then show that the Word of God is reliable, dependable, and that it's what it claims to be, the Word of God, and couldn't be anything else. But epigenosis for Paul and for Peter both means this, that there is a growth in your Christian life. And I remember when I was in college, I had doubts. In fact, I was very much of a skeptic at that time and rather cynical. I had a philosophy that nobody could be happy in this life. I promoted that around quite a bit, and I was rather cynical. I believed the Word of God, but I wasn't sure. Fact of the matter is, I went to a wonderful minister that helped me so much, and he was a very brilliant man, and told him that if I could not be convinced that the Bible is the Word of God, I'd get out of the ministry. My faith was being torn to shreds in a liberal college. So at that time, I'd have to say I had faith, but it sure was a weak faith. I may sound dogmatic to you, and if I do, why, it's because I'm dogmatic, and it's this. Now, I no longer believe the Bible is the Word of God. I know it's the Word of God. You say, how can you be so dogmatic about that? I'll tell you why. I believed it was the Word of God, and now the Holy Spirit has confirmed it. And friends, you can't have a higher confirmation than the Spirit of God when He confirms the Word of God to your heart and life and makes it very real to you. So today, every now and then, young people ask me about a book on apologetics. Well, that is, they say, a book that will show us the Bible is the Word of God. I have several of them here. I haven't read one of those books in years, but when I was their age, that's all I did read, were books like that. Well, I passed that stage. I don't need all that kind of propping up now. And I don't mean to boast. I just mean to say I know it's the Word of God. Some man wrote me not long ago, and he said, the trouble with you is you're too dogmatic. But that's not the trouble with me. There's a lot of other things that's the trouble. But not that. I'm not too dogmatic. I'm just sure. That's all. And positive. If I didn't believe it's the Word of God, wouldn't give it out. And that's what I told that minister in that day. I said, I'll never go into ministry unless I can go in the pulpit and have confidence in the book that I'm preaching. Imagine a pilot taking 200 and 300 people across the country, one of these great planes, and he has before him there the chart of whatever they go by, the log, and suppose he says, just throw that out, I don't believe it. May I say to you, if you and I are sitting back in that plane, we're in trouble. He believes in it, and there's no use going up there and arguing with him about it. He knows. He has information, and it's been confirmed to him. He's flown that route hundreds of times. He knows that. And there are things you can know, and there are things that you can not be sure of, but you can be sure of the Word of God. And so there is knowledge. But may I say, virtue means courage. And you need courage to declare the Word of God. And that is the great need, I would say, of the present hour. Now he says, verse 6, and to knowledge, well, the word is self-control, not temperance. That today, again, is another word that just relates to one thing. But not only this word relates to it, but it relates to self-control in every field of life. A man that is self-controlled, and to self-control, patience. Now, that word patience is misunderstood today, and a great many people think it means that you can sit on the freeway of a morning and not worry about getting to work. You just sit there in the traffic jam, knowing that that gives you a good excuse not to go to work. Well, that's not patience, my friend. Now, patience is endurance. It's to be able to endure, and that is something altogether different. There are a great many very impatient people that can endure today. When something comes to them and there's no other way out, they can endure it. They've got courage. You see, courage, knowledge, and then endurance. This tree's growing, you see, and a Christian should be a growing and developing Christian. Now, let's move on here. And he says, and to self-control, patience, and to patience, godliness. There is another word that's got lost today in the shuffle. And it means just exactly what it says, like God. It means a desire to be like your Father. You're born again now into the family of God. You want to be like your Father, godlikeness. And that doesn't mean that you're like God, but it does mean that that's the desire and aim of your life. And again, let me pause in here in closing and just ask this question for you to really think over today. What is the goal and aim of your life? Are you trying to get rich? Trying to make a name for yourself? Trying to raise your family? Is the goal of your life to make sure you get the right kind of antiperspirant, that you today use the right type of odor today, whether you spray it on, or whether you rub it on, or whether you sprinkle it on, or whether you get the giant economy size and put it in your swimming pool and jump into it. What is the goal of your life today? Is it to live for God and have these things developed in your life? Godliness. It's a good word, and it's a wonderful goal for a child of God. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What are your life goals? If godliness isn't on your list, you might want to take a second look at your priorities. Today is an important day here at Through the Bible. It's the start of Letter Month. Have you heard about our great Through the Bible tradition? The premise is really simple. Although we love to receive your letters anytime, we set aside a couple times a year to specifically celebrate and request them. So write today. Email your note to BibleBus@ttb.org or send your letter to Through the Bible, Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Or if we can answer any questions that you have about this ministry or help you find a resource that will deepen your study of God's Word, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org/pray. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Unto Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?